How many of you have taken care of a child who absolutely needs to go to bed but does not want to go to bed? Okay, that is a love for life. And that's what the church should be. And so as we start this, this series on what the church is and what Grace Life is, going through some of the mission vision stuff that we want, I want us to think in terms of pictures. And this morning, as we look at this, let's think about two-year-olds. That's just I know it's a sanctified, holy picture in your mind, two-year-olds, but think about the life that comes in that. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. When we look at the church, when we talk about leading a church, when we talk about being the church, and the very first thing that Grace Life wants to do, we want to be the church, okay? We want to follow what God has set down in His Word for us to be like, right? There are certain pictures, and anytime you get in a discussion of ecclesiology, okay, ecclesiology is that big 50-cent word that means the study of the church, okay? We always start, or a lot of times, the discussion starts in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, shortly after Pentecost. Now, let me get there. And it says this, 42, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." This is a picture of the very, very early church. I mean, so early that, you know, all these people that we're talking about in this Acts passage, except for, you know, 120 of them, all the rest of them are basically brand new believers. They're brand new Christians. So what would you do? What would we do if you had a bunch of people together who knew nothing about Christ, who knew nothing about what it means to follow Christ? What would you do? Well, the church back then emphasized these things, right? Number one, it says they followed in the apostles' doctrine. How is that different than other doctrine? What do the apostles know that they don't? Because this is in Jerusalem, and a lot of these people were believers of God. So what's different about what the apostles teach? Anybody have a good guess for me real quick? Jesus, absolutely. But not just Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the one who died and was resurrected. So when we talk about the church, and what the church should be about, we've got to start thinking about these things. One of our main goals as a church is to talk about Jesus, to talk about Him and what He did in His resurrection, to go on into apostolic doctrine, if you want to use some big, fat words, okay? What Jesus taught the disciples about who they were to be and what they were to do, and what Jesus taught the disciples were then to go on and teach people about Him and what He taught. So that's apostolic doctrine. Doctrine is teaching, right? He says they devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and the fellowship, all right? Okay, when we talk about church, not only do we talk about apostolic teaching, we talk about all this fun stuff, okay? That's my favorite part of it, is the teaching part. But we also talk about fellowship, right? This word is koinonia, right? How many of you have ever heard the word koinonia before, all right? It's a word that gets tossed around in some church circles. Koinonia is the word for fellowship, and it has the idea of being together, of the idea of being brings in a lot of discussion on unity. All right. So these people, when they came to Christ, they learned about Jesus and the resurrection, but they also learned about being together. So when we talk about church, there's a couple of words that we use. Number one is fellowship, koinonia. It stresses the togetherness of the church, but it also stresses this idea of what the church does when they're not teaching, right? So many times we get this idea that the church is just what? This group of people, they meet together on Sundays, or they meet together at a certain time of the week, and they sit and they listen to a person, they sing some songs, and sometimes that's about it. There are other programs that some churches have throughout the rest of the week, and that's church, right? Well, there's more to it than that. There's this fellowship aspect, this getting together. And so there's that. There's another word that we use. It's all... the Greek word is called ekklesia. Ekklesia literally means something to be called out of. It's an assembly called out of everything else. Sometimes in the scriptures, the Jews were called an assembly, an ekklesia. Sometimes a mob, like in Acts, the Ephesians, they came out in a mob. They're called an ekklesia. They're called an assembly of people together. Well, the church, in the technical sense of the term, is an ecclesia. It's called out for a specific purpose. It's called together for a specific purpose. And that's what, in Acts 2, that's what we're looking at. It says, and they devoted themselves, the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship. And then it says, and of breaking of bread and the prayers. All right? What would you guess this first instance of breaking of bread might be referring to? The remembrance of the Lord's Supper, absolutely. They met together for fellowship, but also for a specific type of breaking of bread. It's the memorial of Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper. Okay? So they met together not only for fellowship, but for specific religious observances. Right? And one of those happened to be the Lord's Supper. Now, they had the Lord's Supper quite a lot. Quite a lot. In fact, in Corinth, I think they got together almost every week, and they would have a dinner, a big feast. So that's what that's talking about. It says, and of prayers. I don't know that that needs explanation, does it? But they got together for certain religious experience. One of those was to remember Christ. One was, you know, to take part in the unity of what that meant. But they also got together. Now think about this. What is prayer? What is prayer? It's communication. But it's communication specific to who? Us and God. Us and Jesus. So not only are they getting together for, you know, to hear about, to know more about Jesus, to know more about each other, to work and to serve in unity, not only just to observe certain religious events, but they're also getting together to help each other, to pray together, to heighten the relationship that they have themselves with Jesus Christ. Those are elements of what the church does. They get together. There's some other things here that we see in this passage, but those are the major things. He says, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together, had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So you look at the rest of this. Now, obviously, we are not living in apostolic times. We don't have people who are literally working miracles all over the place. But there are certain things that are happening that can happen in the church today here as we look at this last bit. this last bit focuses on what I would like to call the life part, right? These were young believers. These were the two-year-olds all getting together, all right, all playing together and having a good time, being full of life, all that fun stuff. They were getting together. It says, and day by day. So, I mean, what does that mean, day by day? It means every single day for a period of time. They were getting together, and they were breaking bread in their homes. Now, it wasn't necessarily the observance of the Lord's Supper, okay? These can be two different things here. What does it mean to break bread in your home? You eat with others, right? We have this great opportunity to eat with other people. And there's something about a meal that just makes relationships happen, eating together. It's a common thing. Everybody has to eat. Might as well eat it together. But they were all the time being with each other, right? They were getting into each other's homes. They were eating together. They were receiving their food with glad and generous hearts. I like that. I like that when it says glad and generous hearts. I mean, to me, this is a lot of times, well, except when you're fighting with them, but when you see a two-year-old eating their food and they love it and they're glad and generous, okay? They're glad. They you know, maybe it's spaghetti. Let's pick an easy one. Maybe your kids didn't like spaghetti. Mine do. What happens, you know, with a two-year-old and spaghetti? Oh, yeah, there's just everywhere. And not only are they glad, but they're generous with it, right? They're so happy to share. Yes, absolutely. They're so happy to share. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be the dog. It's okay. So this is the part that the life comes through. And we see them pursuing this idea of Jesus and following him, learning about him, meeting together with other people who are like-minded, doing religious observances together, praying together. They were meeting together. They were being together, receiving their food with glad and generous hearts. And then it says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day. So not only was this fellowship just glad and joyous, okay, but what is happening here? Do you see it? All of this comes together for the specific purpose of worship. They come together and they lift up Jesus. They were praising God, lifting up their voices. I imagine it wasn't shouting hallelujah. They were probably singing it. They were probably out there and in awe of seeing everything that was going on. They were probably telling each other about how awesome and how wonderful Jesus is. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So not only were they experiencing life, but they were also giving access to it. So when we talk about life, in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus says, I am coming to give life, not to take it, to give life abundantly. Now, when Jesus says that, he's not talking about the difference between death, somebody being in the grave without life, and being alive. Okay, he's not talking about that at all. He's talking about quality of life. Jesus has come to give life, give spiritual life. Okay, that's who Jesus is. In John 1, Jesus said, John says, in him was life. Okay? We see in John 14, I am the way, the truth, the life, right? Okay, that's who Jesus is, right? And we, as a church, we come together to learn about him, not just to learn about him, but to talk about him, to do the things that he would do the way that he would do them, to be like Christ. That's our goal. So then we give life. We talk about Jesus. We want to know about Jesus. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, his passion, if we read it at the end of, in 3:10 there, right in the middle of the chapter, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. I think that was Paul's passion. Paul's passion was knowing Jesus. Okay, apostolic doctrine. Living it out. I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Okay? He not only wanted to live it, but he wanted to preach it. He wanted to speak it. That was what he did as Paul. And so when we come to this idea of what the church is, and we think about vibrancy, you know, we could go on for a long time going from passage to passage to passage and looking at the life that was in the church. You know, for example, you know what Paul did at the end of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. He says that when I came, he says, this is what I gave to you. I talked to you about Jesus. I talked to you about him being resurrected. He sets himself up throughout the scriptures as the model. Not that we're all to be like Paul, as in we're not all, he doesn't give us all the job to be building churches and running to and fro all over the world, but he wants to share his passion with us so we live our life where we are with that type of a passion, a teaching passion, a living passion, having that life in us. And so the question then becomes this. The challenge becomes this. As you think about what it means to live life, what does it mean to have a vibrancy? Where does it start? What is the church to be? How do I see that? How do I take part in it? I think it's actually pretty simple. When we think about seeing the life that God gives us, talk about giving it. I think it starts with being the church. Starts with knowing Jesus, knowing him and his resurrection, Acts 2:42. Apostolic doctrine. They devoted themselves to apostolic doctrine. They devoted themselves to fellowship. What does it mean to be devoted to apostolic doctrine? Devoted to fellowship. Committed. I mean, that's what it means. But what does it look like for me? Now, here we insert favorite college sports team, right? What does it mean to be devoted to a certain college sports team or professional sports team? What does it mean for us to do that? You have a room set aside. There you go. Yeah, with idols. That's hilarious. I know a guy. I knew a guy. He's a big Broncos fan. Has his whole basement painted in Broncos colors. He's even got the furniture to match in that color, with a great big screen TV and all everything he needs to watch the games right there. I would call that a devoted fan, wouldn't you? Yeah. And you know what happens on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays? That's where he is watching his football. He's there, right? So what if we were to change that picture? What does it mean to be devoted to apostolic doctrine? What does it mean to be devoted to fellowship? What does it mean to be devoted to prayer? Because that is where the life comes from. The life comes from Jesus. What does it mean for you and for me? Because honestly, this has, if we're going to see vibrancy in a church, if we want to have a church that's vibrant, it's got to come from each one of us. Not just one or two of us here or there. And it comes from us being collectively coming together and encouraging one another. Having that fellowship. Talking about Jesus. Talking about how Jesus affects our lives. About the apostolic doctrine. That is where life comes from. And the fellowship. That's what it means. Okay? So how is it? Right? Back to this question. How is it? What does it look like for me to be devoted to these things? Because that's where life comes from. Jesus. Being devoted to Jesus, what does that look like for me? Not just on Sunday when we meet together to worship and to hear God's word and we meet together to sing and we meet together to pray. Not just Sunday. Not just Wednesday night when a lot of us come together and we meet with the kids coming for Awana and youth group. Not just Wednesday. What does it mean on Monday or Tuesday? You know, I know we're busy. We've all got jobs, right? But we find time to be devoted to other things, right? What does it mean for us to be devoted to these things? And that's a question that each one of us have to sit down and answer for ourselves. Sit down and take a little stock. Say, am I devoted to the teachings of Christ? What do I have that proves that in my life? Am I devoted to fellowship? What do I have that proves that? Am I devoted to prayer? What do I have in my life that proves that? If I have to answer myself, I'm not devoted to that. How do I get there? What are the changes that I need to make? So, we want to look at life like a two-year-old. We want to look at church and think two-year-old. Two-year-olds they love life. They're curious about things. They're always getting into stuff, but they're ever learning. Things. They're ever learning. Just this week, I don't remember how many new words my two-year-old figured out. All of a sudden, she's just saying stuff you never ever heard her say before. It's awesome. But that's the aspect of the church we want to think about and focus on. That's Grace Life Church. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to meet together, the opportunity to study your word together, the opportunity to fellowship with each other and pray with each other, the opportunity to reflect the life that you give, but also give it out. And God, I pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to be a vibrant church, one that's full of your life, one that's full of showing it off, showing it to other folks, inviting them to be a part of it. And I thank you for that there's a simplicity to pursuing it. It's easy for us to do. Help us with that, Lord, this week. In Jesus' name.